coming. Shavua Tov. Though the world takes interesting turns. Just last week on Motzoi Shabbos, I quoted for you a remarkable idea in the Sefer Kovetz Shiurim. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and Chelik Beis and Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, in which he sets forth that we know full well, anyone who studied the Talmud knows, that Tanoim, who lived in approximately until the time of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who compiled the Mishnah in the 3rd century, have one status. Amoroim, who lived afterwards until the time of Ravashi, sometime in the 6th century, Amora has no right to argue against the Tana. The whole Gemara is based upon that. You ask a question against an Amora from a Tana. Rav Yosef Karo in his Kesef Mishnah in Uchas Mamrim asks, why is that so? After all, the Rambam rules that one Bezdin can argue on a different Bezdin. And if one Bezdin can argue on a different Bezdin, so why can't a Bezdin in the time of the Amoraim argue against a Bezdin in the time of the Tanoim? That's a question. It's a very, very powerful question. It's an excellent question. We don't understand exactly why. If any Bezdin can argue on a previous Bezdin, it's not clear to us why the Amoraim cannot argue against the Tanoim. That's the question. So the Kesef Mishnah asked this question in his commentary written by Rabbi Yosef Karo on the Rambam. I'm going to read you the Lashon of the Rambam first. It's in the second parak of Hilchos Mamrim in the first halacha. Bezdin HaGodol, the great Sanhedrin, the great Bezdin that had a certain drasha, and Amdu Achrayim Bezdin Acher, and another Bezdin comes. V'nira lo tam achel is also adin. They have a different, they think that the original ruling is wrong. Harei says, so servidon k'fi mashi yiroa be'enof. There's a right to do whatever it seems in its eyes. How do you know? El ha-shofet ha-shayiya be'yom ha-mahein. You're only required to follow the Bezdin of your generation. Of your generation. The Yim Tomar asked the Kesef Mishnah right there, Yim Ken Amailo Pligi Amoroi Atanoi. Why can't the Amoroim argue against the Tanoim? The Bechol Duchta Makshinu L'Amorim Masnis Nami Braisa. That's the whole Talmud is based upon that. Vitzarach Lomar, I know the Amriki Hai Tana. I hold like a different Tana from Lo Yoma Ken Kashale, it's difficult. Why? You can argue on anybody you want, came before you. Says the Kesef Mishnah something remarkable. The Evshar, possible Loma to say, Shemiyom Chasimas HaMishnah, from the time that the Mishnah was sealed, Kimu V'Kiblu, they accepted upon themselves, that's a phrase from the Megillah, Shevdoros HaAchronim, that the later generations, Lo Yachloku, will not argue Ala Rishonim on the earlier generations. V'chein osim, until they did, gam b'chasimas ha-Talmud, after the Talmud was sealed in the time of Rav Ashi, shemiyom shenechtam, from the time it was sealed, lo nitan reshus l'shemodam, permission not given to any man, lachlok olov, to argue against the Talmud. This is this exact citation from the Kesef Mishnah in the second paragraph of Hilchos Mamrim in the first halach. Came Rabbi Chanan and said, he thinks the pshat is, what kind of Kabbalah, what do they accept? What's the kind of acceptance? What are you accepting from me? What an acceptance? So he said it's following. We saw this last week. That there's a special status accorded to a Bezdin HaGadol. Why? What makes it so special? Because it represents all Chachmei Yisrael. And therefore all of Klal Yisrael is duty bound to follow what it says. Contrast this with a Bezdin which is not a gathering of all of Chachmei Yisrael. Such an important critical point. Remember, in the time of Rav Ashi, there was no Bezdin HaGadol. The institution no longer existed. Nonetheless, nobody can argue against Rav Ashi and his Bezdin because they were the gathering of all of Chachmei Yisrael. When I say all, we mean almost all. I never say the word all. Okay, but that's what it means. So therefore, no one can argue against them. And similarly, when it comes to the Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi gathered them all together and he compiled the Mishnah. In between, there was no such gathering. So they couldn't argue against the Mishnah. question, of course, becomes, could Rav Ashi and his Bezdin argue against the Mishnah? So the presumed answer is yes. I believe that Rav Elchanan even says that in his piece on Kovach. He said, but they didn't want to do it. For all those generations, they couldn't do it. So they said, we're not going to start now. Okay. Of course, if this is correct, since we read the Rambam last week, the Rambam said that this institution, the gathering of all Chachmei Yisrael, has not existed. He lived in the 12th century since the Chasim HaSa Talmud. And we're now in the 21st century. And we can say exactly the same thing. It hasn't happened for whatever reasons. There were certain reasons in the Middle Ages and there's certain reasons in the modern age. Whatever they are, doesn't matter. It hasn't happened yet. And therefore, we cannot argue with the Gemara. This admits of a possibility that if we got everybody together now, 2011, hey, we can argue against the Gemara. So I made a brief reference last week to what the Chazon Ish said. Now this is amazing. I have a book of me called Kovetz Inyanim. This Sefer is not as opposed to all the other Kovetz. Kovetz means Rabbi Chanan wrote it himself. He wrote the Kovetz Ha'aras, he wrote the Kovetz Shiurim. This is written by a student of his. And the student transcribed the notes that he had of his Rabbi Chanan Shiurim from Europe. It was printed originally in 1975 in Bnei Brak. And guess what? He found a kuntris from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish had corresponded to Rabbi Chanan on certain matters. And this, he received from a member of the family, where Rabbi Chanan went back and forth, okay, with the Chazon Ish, which have a separate importance. And if to my knowledge, it's only printed here. To the best of my knowledge, it's printed over here. And here we have, again, he got it from his friend, he says, Hagrash Greinemann. The Grash Granim is a nephew of the Chazon Ish. He had in his possession the correspondence between Rabbi Chazon Ish and Rabbi Elchanan. So the Chazon Ish writes, this is, for those who want to look it up later, it's Oz Beis. He has quite a few pages. Let's see, he goes. He has 6 pages of comments on Rabbi Elchanan's writings. On the second page, going into the third, he says, the reason why the Amorim can't argue on the Mishnah, because Rav Chachmei Yisrael got together, Rav Yehuda Ravashi, and in the time of the Chasim HaSa Talmud, they had the power to argue on the Mishnah, but they just didn't do it. Then he says as follows. This is a citation. He's quoting Rabbi Chanan. V'gam achshav im yiskavtsu kol Chachmei Yisrael, and even now, if all Chachmei Yisrael got together, yuchlu lachak lachal ha-gemara, they can argue with the Gemara. V'advorim osu l'shomon. You're not allowed to hear him. I shouldn't be saying it to you. You're not allowed to hear it. Has the Chazon Ish. Can't be. Impossible. And he has many questions, one after the other, after the other, after the other, etc., etc., etc. So what does he do? He gives you his take. Ha'emes hazeh, shedor achar ha-mishnah, ro es miut alavavos, neged bali ha-mishnah. They saw that they were not as smart as the previous generation. V'yadu la-vetach she'emes la'olam im-arishonim. They know that the first ones are always right. And once they knew it, they were always right. They couldn't argue because they knew they weren't going to be right. It was impossible for them to argue. After the Talmud, again, they saw that they were not smart enough to argue what came before. And all these understandings were Bashkochas Habori Yisbarach Uvahofas Ruach HaKodesh. And Hashem said, Ravina Ravashi Sofarah Rabbi Rav Nosson Sof Mishnah. This comes to HaKadosh Baruch. The Rabbi Yosef Kar gave a different idea. Kiblu. Lo tova v'chesed osim arishon. Do you a favor. I'll accept your words. No. Eloha emes chiev osam. I spoke this morning about chesed v'emes. It wasn't a tova v'chesed. Mama, she has my words. Eloha emes. It wasn't, I'll do you a favor and I won't argue with you. It's the truth. Ho emes chiev osam. Ki eich nase al datenu. Im Yodano Shadatenu Ktsora Ve'emes Eini Tanu V'chol Onu Osim. We, Chazanish is writing himself, Neged HaRishonim Zal. Ooh, hear what's going on? According to Chazanish, there's no formal distinction. So too, we wouldn't argue against the Rishonim. Now, that's quite a a significant statement. And just to top it off, says the Chazon Ish, to Rabbi Chanan, your whole assumption is wrong. Who says that a plain bezin can't argue on a bezin agadol? It's not true. The Rambam writes, bezin agadol shadoshu, etc., etc. Omen achweim bezin acher. Didn't say bezin agadol acher. Any bezin can argue. So there. Therefore, you're wrong and I'm right, says the Chazon Ish. Now, I have a question. The Chazon Ish never argued on the Rishon? What does that mean? We find the Vilna Gaon argued on the Rishon. Chazon Ish argued. Simply, empirically, I don't see why this is correct. But, comes up a Chanan in response. And it's very important to understand his response. This is on page Kuf Tzadi Tes. He quotes Rabbi Chanan as saying that Chachmei Yisrael would gather, they can argue on the Gemara, Hadvarim Osu L'Shoma. He responds, Ubevada Kenu, Ki Osu L'Shmo Hadvarim B'Telem Ka'elu. You're right. I never said it. You attacked a straw man, Chazon Ish. They were contemporaries. You attacked a straw man. I never said it. Never. Let me explain. He says, it's obvious, says Rabbi Chanan, that for A to argue on B, when we know that A, that B is a million times smarter than A, there's nothing to talk about. You don't know what B is talking about. Tzorach lamad al sof dato shel mi shekodmo, kedei sheyuchal lachlok alav. I have to understand what he's saying, I can argue with him. If I don't even understand him, I can argue on him. That's obvious. Okay. And therefore, it's true. Generally speaking, things are going down. Okay, I can understand that. However, you do find sometimes there's an exception to the rule. Ein klal b'liotim in aklal. There's no rule without an exception to the rule. We know. Even after Chasimas HaTalmud, right? They didn't get back to the early generations. But there were exceptions. Rav Hai Gon was the last of the Gonim. He lived until the last millennium. He passed away, I believe, in the year 1040 or something like that when Rashi was born. But they said he was greater than the Gonim who lived hundreds of years before him. And he would routinely argue with them, and we passed them like him. Rav Chaim Voloshin about his Rebbe the Gra. He was on the level of the maybe like the Rajma. We know the Gra argued on those who came hundreds of years before him. So now the question becomes, wait a second. Once that's true, maybe you'll find one of a thousand of the Amoraim that the people in his time will say, hey, he can argue on a Tana. Yet, we find no exception to the rule, except Rav. Rav was in the swing generation. He was still a Rav Tano Pollock, but later, that's it. No one. Must be, it's a formal, technical reason that since they all got together all of Klal Yisrael, we're not able to argue against them. So Rabbi Chanan is conceding the point to Chazon Ish, at least in part, that he's not saying that you can get together the people today to argue on Amoraim with the Tanoim. Why? Because we're not even allowed to argue with them. The Rishonim didn't say it. Because we find that he's going to argue on the Chazon Ish. He can't argue on Rishonim, because even though they're much greater than us, but there can be an exception. Okay? Yeah.
The problem with that is that it's true they might have made a whole, agreement at the time of the Amoraim not to argue with the Tanoim. But why do we, future generations, have to accept that agreement?
What does it say? I told you it's the expression from the Megillah. Kimu v'kiblu. Finish the Pasuk. Kimu v'kiblu aleyam v'al zara makol anil v'arem.
Yeah, I mean, you just said that. That doesn't mean it's true.
Okay, so, good. 100%? Okay, fine. So, it doesn't pay for us to argue yet, because at first glance, we haven't had a gathering of all of Klal Yisrael since Chasimas HaTalmud, so we shouldn't be spending too much time on this theoretical dispute between the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Chanan. If we got everybody together, could they argue when they come up? But be patient. We're not finished yet. I told you, hold on. So I never meant, says Rabbi Chanan, that they can argue in the Gemara, but since a Gaon like you, Chocham Gadol Kvod Gaono, understood that from my words, I admit, Katsarti, I should have been Marich, and explained more, I apologize. I wrote very quickly, I apologize. But that what you say, Chazon Ish, that a plain Bezdin can argue on Bezdin Gadol, I think you're wrong. He says, in the same perek, he says like this, there was a Bezdin, because what was his taina? He says, Bezna Gadol, and it says plain Bezin. But look at the Halacha Beis. Bezin Shagazru, etc., 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 etc. And that Bezin is clearly a Bezna Gadol, because at the end he says, every Bezin is 71 people. So therefore, I think you're wrong. And he brings other writings from Ramban in Masechta Baba Basra, etc. He's saying, fine, I'm not going into it any further. I thought, this is very nice theory. As recently as last Moshe Shabbos, when we spoke about these matters, and it was completely theoretical. Totally. Well, in Yeshiva, we're learning Masechta Yevamos, and we're learning the Sugya of Geirus. Now, Geirus is a very serious matter, very, very serious matter, personal status of Klal Yisrael. And we know that a proper ger is a ger who accepts upon himself the mitzvahs. The big fight among two of the Dayanim, among more than two, the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, and we are now holding in Tavshin Ayin Beis. In two consecutive years, Tavshin Samach Ches and Tavshin Samach Tes, a Choshev Dayan Choshev Mod and the Bezdin HaRabani HaGadol, don't confuse this phrase. Bezdin HaGadol, we speak about before, that's the Bezdin of 71. The Bezdin HaGadol, they call it Bezdin HaRabani HaGadol. They make sure to put the word HaRabani in the notion. Don't confuse this with Sanhedrin, but that's what they're called. It's the highest court of appeals. It was a man whom I know personally. His name is Rabbi Avraham Sherman. He spent the Shabbos in my house here in Riverdale. Those who have good memories may remember him. He was here. He spent some months in our yeshiva. We went on a sabbatical quite a few years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was. And he's a very wonderful man. And he wrote in two consecutive years major opinions on this matter. His opinion in Tavshin Samach Ches, that's 2008, is quite remarkable. I have an excerpt here in front of me. It was printed after me from the original, and it starts my excerpt with a gilui das. That's the word that's used in Israel today for a. We're revealing our opinion. It's dated in the 10th day of year of that year, Tavshin Samach Ches. Now there are those who want to accept gerim with converts without accepting the mitzvahs, who don't accept the mitzvahs. We say, without Kabbalah and mitzvahs, it's not effective. Finished. Who signs it? Quite a few very distinguished people. I'll read you the list. Rav Yashiv, Rav Steinman, Rav Vosner, Rav Michal Yudel Lefkowitz, Rav Chaim Pichel Scheinberg, Rav Nissen Karelitz, Rav Chaim Konevsky, Rav Shmuel Orbach, Rav Yitzchok Shiner, Rav Gershon Edelstein, Rav Meir C. Bergman, and it says in Nosson Finkel. Ooh. I assume it means that Mir Rosh Hashiva is a Chorona L'Rach. Don't say nothing sweet, but I assume that's what it means. Those are all, we'll call from the yeshivish world. Here's some Hasidim. Hakotn Tzvi Elimelech Ben Admar Zal. I'm not exactly sure which Rebbe it is. It's obviously, that's a funny way. Which Rebbe now is Tzvi Elimelech? Could be it's the Sanza, the Kloisenberger. I think it's his, he's a Kloisenberger. And Yisrael Ben Arava Tadak Mivishnit Shlita, I guess the Mivishnit Rebbe's son, and that's it, two Hasidic Rebbe's, okay, and on the banner of Yochanan Tzoy with the Erloh Rebbe, and one Sfardi, Nissen Toledano, I'm not sure who that is exactly. Okay, so they signed, very nice. Comes up a Sherman and says, no one in the world is allowed to argue on these people. They have Chachmei Yisrael got together and they made a decision and nobody can argue. And anybody who argues, I'm reading a quotation from Rabbi Sherman, anybody, Ein kol tokef lo hara'asim u'psikasam shal batei din arabanim shahoru u'pasku binyanim k'elu k'shlo bikshu v'tzirfu la psikasam chavazdas v'askamasam shal gedoli ha'torah poskei ador. Anything they say is null and void. Turning a few pages. He quotes a Sefer HaChinuch that Lo Sosser applies in every generation. And all of a sudden, the next page, believe it or not, HaGoda B'chonon V'asimin, Kutras Divrei Sofrim. I thought I would never see this in a halachic piece. Here it is. In a psak din of the Bezdin, the Rabbani Gadol on top, it says Medina Yisrael in big bold letters on top, every page. And they quote it. The Hovel call also Nadavar Shabbatal, but his scheme of Aleim call Yisrael. Volsum Achacham Mishiskinu Ogozu, etc. came Kol Chachma Yisrael Aruba. Therefore, it's binding for all generations, based upon the Rambam. That's the Rambam's expression. It's talking about a quote of the Rambam. His scheme Aleim call Yisrael. He has a whole discussion why he says Kol Yisrael, doesn't say Kol Chachma Yisrael. He said both. That's what he says. Therefore, Rabbi Chanan says, quote, this is a quote from Rabbi Chanan. Avol kibbutz kol chachmei Yisrael aruban b'chol mokom sheheim heim bezdin shel kol Yisrael me'alehen. There's no need for a formal appointment, Rabbi Chanan. He quotes the words. So you see from Rabbi Chanan, they understand that they're from the Rambam, that these giants obligate kol Yisrael to listen to them, no matter what. No matter what. His scheme alayim call Yisrael, even though they didn't make a... That's it, because it's in the Gemara that way. And according to the Psak, believe it or not, of Rabbi Avraham Sherman, the same thing applies. We have a group of 17 or 18 rabbis. That's it. That's Kol Chachma Yisrael. And therefore, no one has a right to argue. What he's saying is that if someone would tell us that these 18 rabbis are as great as the Amoraim, I'm not saying they are, but if they would be as great as the Amoraim, they could argue, that's it. They can argue on the Gemara. Something which I would never say. You consider this to be Kol Chachma Yisrael? Is all the wise men in Klal Yisrael? That's obviously just a joke. But for example, from the Sephardic world, they pick one from Nissen Toledano. I don't know who he is. I'm sure he's a great man. I'm not being Chalila Vachas. I don't know him, so I'm not going to say anything bad. But I know some other Sephardi rabbanim whose names are not here. I know other Dayanim and Eretz Yisrael, great rabbis, whose names are not here. And you know what? Even in America, the people know how to learn. None of their names are here. So this is the kibbutz of all the Chachma Yisrael and the whole generation. What is he talking about? I don't understand what he's saying. I think he's 100% wrong. That even someone like me, I'm way miles lower than all these people, but I say I want to pass the Rav Moshe Feinstein or something or other. He younger than all these people. I can't follow Rav Moshe Feinstein because 18 rabbis in Eretz Yisrael got together and have a particular point of view? What does that mean? I just don't understand what he's saying. But I was shocked to find this quote that we had last week in a halachic decision, which is being used to delegitimize any rabbi in the whole world who does not accept this ruling. Now, as to whether they're going against this ruling, I don't even think it's true. What do they say? They say that geres without kabbalas and mitzvahs is nothing. Do authors argue with this position? Yes. Great rabbis who lived since the chasim hazatam, we're not going into that now, I think it's the accepted position. But some say the Rambam never held of it. Some. Big people. Major Talmudic scholars claim that according to the Rambam, don't need Kabbalah Samis. I think they're wrong. But they think they're right. Number one. Number two, for those who know I'm not going into the intricacies now, those who know that whenever these garrison are done by these bezins that he's putting down, the person always says he accepts the mitzvahs. Only problem is, he doesn't mean it. That gets into a problem we call in our language, not for now. Dvarim shebelev, einem dvarim. That's what he thinks doesn't count. And Rav Kook says in one tshuva that once he said he accepts the mitzvahs, you have to assume he's Jewish no matter what. In the later tshuvas, he says, well, if it's obvious he didn't mean it, then he's not really Jewish. Which is a position which I happen to agree with. But this is a far cry from delegitimizing any other rabbi who disagrees. And not only that, but since these rabbis are considered to be wrong, he goes on to claim that perhaps the rabbis who go against this position, forgive the expression, are Rishoyim. And therefore, there's not even a Bezin who's observing the Geris. Even if a Frum Ger, who accepts all the mitzvahs, goes in front of them, perhaps he's still not a Ger, because why? They are Rishoyim. They're not listening to the 18 rabbis. They have no right to go against us. They can't go against the Gemara. To me, this is a mind-boggling proposition. I must tell you, with all my respect, personally, for Rabbi Sherman, I know it's not just respect for his erudition, for who he is as a person. I just think this is completely incorrect. And it's literally on point to the shiur we had last week with the same quote from Rabbi Chanan. But Mimokum Shabbosa, the Rambam said it hasn't happened since the time of the Talmud. And he says, when these rabbis coming together, it happened. Now, it is true. He quotes a series of quotations of a big fight that existed. Perhaps we'll talk about it in one of the shurim, about Kiddushin al-Tanai, where he quotes that the great rabbi said, you have to ask the Gedolei Hador, and the rabbis in France who wanted to make a Kiddushin al-Tanai, that he had a civil divorce, then the marriage was no good from the very beginning. So Rav Chaim Boyer says, how can you do this against the Gedolim? Rav Chaim Briska said, she asked Rav David al-Karlina, whatever he says goes. All this I agree with. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that little rabbis should argue with a consensus of all the great rabbis, but at the same time, there may be even great rabbis today who didn't sign their names to this piece of paper. And moreover, we all know, as these Gedolim all said, the only time there can be a majority is if they come together and argue it face to face. You can't just sit down with I doubt that these rabbis met face to face. If I took around a piece of paper and then have people sign it, we know some of there are even abuses. And I'm not accusing about this particular one. But if people say, I never signed this. I didn't know this. I didn't. Whatever it may be. So, Dave, I'm just letting you know that I would never have dreamt as of last Motzei Shabbos that this Rabbi Chanan we spoke about last week would come. I'd come to meet him in person in a really serious matter within a week. Okay. So now that we have given this introduction, we turn to the beginning of the next topic. This topic is called Shiurim. But once again, before we get to the details of Shiurim, and I have a piece right in front of me entitled How Much Matzah Do You Need to Eat, which I wrote, this prepares Pesach. There's also a piece which I have to get for next week called The Evolution of the Olive. Forgot to ask you to bring that one, but we'll get that for next Matzah Shabbos, Mr. Hashem. That was actually the truth, that was the impetus for the entire title of this series, Evolution and Change in Halacha, came from title of that article, The Evolution of the Aleph. But I'm going to read you from a remarkable book, a book, by the way, which is bashed in the most recent Hamayan. Hamayan comes out four times a year from Shalavim. And they bashed this book. This book is called Hachazon Ish. It is a big, fat book, let's see how many pages it has over here. Including the Mafteches, it's over 950 pages. So it's almost 1,000 pages, including the Mafteches. Without the Mafteches and everything that, it's still 860-something pages. It's a fat book. Okay? It presumes to be a critical evaluation of the Chazon Ish as a posek, as a mamon, as a manig ha-mapecha ha-charedis. That's the subtitle. And it's not one of these typical art school biographies or the equivalent of Eretz Yisrael. It says things which are not so pleasant to hear, etc., etc. And he's bashed by a Rabbi Levine or something like that. And the reason I'm Mayan, how do you know it? It's all historical bubamaisis, and you have no basis for this, and you're making assumptions. Da-da, 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 da-da. That's not our point for right now. If you want to read it, look it up. I'll lend it to you, but not for now. I'm here to discuss with you one relatively brief excerpt. The book has 860 pages, and I'm just reading you a few pages. You'll see that it is a relatively short excerpt. But the word relative doesn't mean it's that short. It's quite lengthy, as a matter of fact. It starts on page 424. Okay? This is on page 424. We have a discussion about the issue of shiurim. Right? House size is an aleph. Starts talking about page 424, and it goes all the way until page 440. So we're talking about 17 pages, basically, which is not a small 16 pages, a little more. Okay, so we all know. Let's take a little bit. Start backwards. There are different shiurim in the Torah. There is linear measurement. Linear measurement has many, many subdivisions. The smallest is the egodel, which which is the size of the thumb. And then there is the tefach, the size of the fist. Then there's the amah, size of the arm. And there's certain ratios which they have in the Gemara, which frankly I was unable to get them to work even with my own measurements. If you can figure out it works properly, it's supposed to be this is supposed to be four times this, and this is supposed to be six times this. It couldn't work by me, but if you have a way to figure it out, more power to you. Fine. That's linear measurements. And we all know that's relevant in terms of how big the tzitzis is supposed to be, more important how high the mechitzah has to be for Shabbos and for other areas, and how big a gap can be in within a mechitzah, etc. We're not discussing that today. Then there's also volume measurement. Volume measurement. What volume measurement? So, let's start with something which is called a revius. A revius is a very, very important measurement. I made a brief reference to at the end of the shiur last Motzei Shabbos. A revius is the amount of wine you have to drink for Kiddush and Abdullah. That's a very common application. What's a revius? A revius is a revius halug. What's a lug? So a lug is a hierarchy in terms of volume measurement. And we go up from the fundamental building block as a kebetza, the size of an egg. Which obviously means displacement. How much water, for example, would an egg displace? Or how much volume would it occupy? So an egg, there is an egg, and that's called a betza. Okay? Then there's a kav, and then there's a lug. Excuse me. A beta, a lug, and a kav. So, what's a revius? Revius halug. It's a quarter of a lug. What's a lug? Six beta. What's a revius by higher mathematics? A beta and a half. Good. Take an egg. Add 50%, and you can make Kiddush. Okay, simple, very good. What comes afterwards? A lug, right? A lug comes, I said, there's a lug, and then there's a kav, and then there's a saw. Do I hear the word saw? That's a familiar term. Who knows? A mikvah, arbaim saw. That's a serious matter. A mikvah, that's, we all know, it's the most serious matter of measurement of all. A mikvah is much more serious than anything else. Good. Fine. So you have linear measurements, you have volume measurements, and if you're up to me, never the twain shall meet, and shalom al Yisrael. No problem. The problem is they do meet. And the Gemara describes one in terms of another. Came along the Tzlach. The Tzlach was the great Noda B'Yehuda. And in his Sefer on Masechet Pesachim, at the end of Kuf Tezayin, he measured them both. And unfortunately, he found out they were off by a ratio of 2 to 1. Just 2 to 1. So that's already a problem. Off by 2 to 1. Gewalt. So he came to a conclusion that the eggs that we have now are smaller than the eggs that we had then. It's true. There are all kinds of eggs. The average egg that we have today, he claims, is smaller than the eggs we had then. And he gives what he calls here in his book, a semi-halachic, semi-theological point, does Rabbi Yehuda. V'yodua shadoros holchim u'mismatim. The generations are getting smaller. It's impossible that our thumb is greater than the thumbs that existed in the Chachmei Hashas. Because we're getting small. So therefore, the eggs must have gotten small. We can't be bigger than they are, so the eggs must have gotten smaller. This is empirically incorrect from Chila. Everyone knows that people say they're bigger than they were. Leave out Chachmei Hashas. Bigger than they were, whatever it is. It seems to me empirical that they have large evidence for this.
Also, that the words don't mean that. And when we say Yuridas Hadoros,
exactly. We understand.
It doesn't mean inside.
Exactly. This is an amazing line, an incredible line. Okay. But that's what he says. This, of course, caused a furor. A furor in the halachic world, because everything got doubled all of a sudden. It's incredible. Some agreed, some disagreed. Fine. Fine. The dispute was, fundamentally, to follow this new chumrah, or to rely on what they call the, quote, minhag ha'olam. Some were machmir for themselves, why not? But for the olam, for the people, they never accepted it. The one who did is the Chasam Sofer, but even his students and his students' students who came to Eretz Yisrael accepted the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, which is much, much less, and as we shall see. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Brura, who quoted this chumrah, and says, when it comes to a d'oraisa, such as kazayis matzah and Pesach, wait a minute. You hear the word kazayis? We haven't gotten to that word yet. We're talking about kebetza, we're talking about revi. We never got to kazayis yet, but we'll see soon. One should be strict and follow the tzlach and the chasam sofer, because they are min haTorah, and the rabbanon to be chosh lechatchila. Kiddush, he says, well, if you rely on the minhag ha'olam, the smaller shear, but he, for some reason, thinks that on Kiddush Friday night, we should be strict. Why? Although the cup of wine, that we assume, is not a d'oraisa, that's what we assume, most of poskim assume, but since the Kiddush itself is a d'oraisa concept, therefore, you should be strict. That's a chiddush, agave chiddush. But that's what he says. Now, it's interesting. He understands that the old minhag is the minhag ha'olam. In Eretz Yisrael, there was certainly the small minhag in those days, no question about it. And he never heard of these shirim. It says, he's quoting it from the late Rav Menashe Klein. Before the war, he was allowed in Europe before the war. I quote, Ro veruba di alma, veruba de ruba, lo naga bechumrazu. Almost nobody held this chumra before World War II. Fine. Atkan. So this was, a dispute, and a few people were strict before World War II, and the overwhelming majority never got involved in these chumras, notwithstanding the fact that great giants of halacha wrote them. But this doesn't mean it in that sense. A war broke out during World War II. A mini war over this issue. Klai Yisrael was unfortunately racked with a war which was killing 6 million people. But at the same time, in the Torah world, was a mini war. How did it start? It started with in 1943, Rav Chaim Noah. Who was he? He was the Rav of the Bukharim, Shkunas HaBukharim. Everyone knows what Bukharim is. It's in the middle of the town of Yerushalayim. He wrote a sefer called Shiurei Torah to explain halacha lemaisa, what to do. And he wrote, I'm not going to go into the details now, what he said. I'm not even going to go into this whole story. Now, okay, so he wrote what he wrote. Fine. And he explains this, a gadol is 2 centimeters, he says, and a revius, according to him, is 86 cubic centimeters. Okay? That's what? That's less than 3 ounces. And of course, it's obvious. It's gematria kos. Gotta be. Gematria kos. So that's what's his shiur. Fine. Where do you get it from? A little arithmetic. If 86.4, whatever it is, take 2/3 of that, the egg is, I believe, 57.6 is the egg. Sure. That's what he said. Good. So this caused a whole furor. A whole tumult. Chazon Ish, in the year Tavshin Zayin, 4 years later, 1947, this is after the other war stopped. Now it's time to embark on this war, wrote Kutras HaShiurim. We explained that the Tzlach is correct, and he rejects those who disagree, and his brother-in-law, the Stipler, was on his side. And Rabbi Chaim Noah had Rabbi Herzog, and Rabbi Avadja Hadaya, who was the greatest Sephardi Gadol of the time, on his side. And there was a whole argument. And they're arguing back and forth, back and forth. I'm not going to go into the details, how much it was a dram. That's not the point. Here's the point I want to get to. This is very, very important. The fact that there is a minig which precedes him, which was certainly against him. Rav Chaim Noah was well aware of history, that the custom was not to follow these large shiurim. He said, when you talk about a minig, which is important, right? What did we talk about last week? The Rambam says that the minig is the most important thing. When it came to the Shemitah, he nullified his own view. The Rambam had strongly held views. And he said, my view, I think, is my view, but I'm wrong. Because all the Gaonim had a Kabbalah, and that's what people are doing. And the what people are doing is an Amud Gadol Ba'arah. You have to rely upon that. Atka? No. So here they were using the small shear. Not so fast. We know, he says, because on Hogas HaTzibur Maftachas Esa Emes V'Hanachocha. Because the Schus HaRabim, they're not going to make a mistake. When is that? At only on Hogas HaTzibur Al Pihoro Shel HaChocham HaMamun Al HaTzibur. To their great rabbis, that's a meaning which counts. Aval an hogas dalas ha'om. But the practice, dalas ha'om, literally means the poor people of the nation. It doesn't mean poor in money. It means poor in wisdom. She'ena medaktikim b'diburam. We're not so careful. Uve masom, uve matonim, uve dukduke mitzvahs. V'chol maseya mitzvahs anoshim ulumada. They just follow by rote. Eina kovas minig. Wow. What did he do here? He seemed to be taking, I'm sorry to say this so strongly, generations upon generations of the best Jews that we have, following their great Gedolim, who lived for all those centuries, and saying, poof, doesn't count. So Rav Chaim Noah wrote back, what are you joking me? What are you kidding? These are people who followed their Rabbanim, who were the greatest Rabbanim of their time. A, before the Tzlach, when everybody followed this, the smaller custom. And B, even after the Tzlach, who lived in the 18th century, from the 18th century till the 20th century, for all those 200 years or so, we already heard the Ruba, the majority of the great Ashkenazi communities were following the smaller Shia. The Svardim all followed the smaller Shia. Who was following your Shia? Yes, a few here and there. Gedolei Olam following that. But it's incredible. It's mind-boggling. That's what he says. Rav Chaim Noah responded very sharply to this. Okay. Now, so this is already goes back to our semi-theological point that we made last week. I read you the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan said last week that the minig was in Chutzaros not to worry about Chodesh. And he says, since that was our Masorah from the Chachmei Ashkenaz going centuries down, so that's our minig. It's hard to imagine that such a minig is going to be downplayed by that minig of Dalas Ha'om. But the greatest rabbis, many of them may have been strict for themselves, but for the world around us, everybody was lenient. So according to the Chazon Ish's own words, the Zchus of Klal Yisrael wouldn't allow them to make a mistake and do something which is wrong. Yes, it's true. It's possible for later generations to come and have different customs. That's the whole topic of this whole series. But not to put down a legitimate position which had the backing of the greatest rabbis when they were leading the, not just Dalas Ha'om, they were leading the Jews who were careful about mitzvahs, following the rabbis who were certainly careful about the mitzvahs. Oh. Yes.
But look what actually happened between that time that the Chazon Ish probably wrote this.
1947. We know when he wrote it.
1947. And today, if enough yeshivas and rabbis taught their students by giving them nice big green papers to take home to their Seder place and everything, and you know, like, and they're teaching their children, etc., within a generation or two, all of a sudden it becomes the popular, you know, size, because that's what you know, a few people could start a minhag like that, and it's dispatching.
Very good. Okay, slow. We're going slowly. So here he gets involved in an unfortunate incident. People get carried away because he says the stipler wrote an additional book called Shiurim D'Oraisa, which he wrote, as all he wrote, all of us from anonymously, and he quotes Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah from 4 years before, who said a certain thing is such and such thing. Pakavana b'zeh sharif zal tor chas v'shalom. The way he understood Reb Chaim Noah as if the Rif made a mistake, chas v'shalom. V'cholila v'chas lomakein, v'shonen kemalochem, gufei Torah, etc. The problem is, Rabbi Noah never wrote it. Never. In the winter of 48, 49, Reb Chaim Noah was in the Gola, Petach Tikva, because the Arabs bombed his house in Yerushalayim. So he went to Petach Tikva. Okay, he showed the boys in the yeshiva Petach Tikva. They ran to the stipler, was in Bnei Brak, and the stipler wrote a letter of apology. He called him all kinds of wonderful names. You're a great man. And he promised to fix it up. The problem is, he didn't fix it. Why not? He writes, I don't know if this is true. He writes, Rabbi Noah said, cross it out. In the next edition, take a pen and just cross it out. And the stipler didn't want to cross it out. He wanted to put a at the end that I made a mistake. He said, what do you mean? They're going to read this and not going to be the end. So over this dispute, it was never retracted. To this day, apparently, it was never retracted. That book's still being printed without this correction. This is who said all this. As Rabbi Noah said in some later book called Avnei Tzedek's, which just came out even later. So he put a new book called Shiurei Tzion, that year Tav Shin Tes, and he blasts the Shiurim D'Oraisa of the stipler. And he goes back, hit him again, and Eifas Tzedek, and another Sefer. And then, all this is 1949, Tav Shin Tes. Back and forth, and he had an opportunity, he said to, he could have apologized. No. He never mentioned the word about that quote mistake that he made. That's what he says. Rabbi Noah wrote back again, Tav Shin Yud Aleph is going on. This is a five-year battle. From Tav Shin Zion to Tav Shin Yud Aleph, once again, a new book called Shiuri HaMikva, Avnei Tzedek, where his polemic with the stipler reaches its peak. Right away he starts off by saying what happened, that he made a mistake and he wouldn't want to correct it, and he writes the letter, he doesn't want to write it up. The whole thing is in there. The whole thing is in there. And a few other places, the stipler, he said, misunderstood him, and he gives him what happened. This time, the stipler didn't respond so fast. He was in a difficult position. And he did not respond. By the time he responded, unfortunately, both Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish were no longer alive. They both were nifter around the same time. And his next sefer is in 1956, Shiurin Shel Torah. Again, later, apparently, he expressed charata that he attacked Reb Chaim Noah personally. But he said, you know, I had no choice. Because he attacked, quote, Shitas Moron HaChazon Ish. He didn't attack the Chazon Ish. Shitas Moron HaChazon Ish. So it wasn't exactly a quid pro quo. But he never had a charata that he fought with him. Just he shouldn't have, he should only attack the Shita and not the person. This is from the intellectual biographer of the stipler, Rabbi Horowitz and Orchas Rabbeinu, etc. And on and on and on. Okay, fine. Now, it's interesting. At one point in time, the Chazon Ish wrote a letter to Reb Chaim Noah. Yep. He was sure of his position. But he quotes as follows. Libi ansan, my heart forces me. V'libi omeli, and my heart tells me, that the agodel is 2.5 centimeters without a doubt. Evshalahatir Ashes ish b'midas amakozeh. If it's relevant to an ashes ish, to be matter an aguna in some funny way, whatever it is, you can be matter it. So he quotes over here that one of the mekuravim of the Chazon Ish told this author, and this is Braun, I believe, Rav Chaim Noah showed this letter in the shuls in Yerushalayim. He says, I brought rayas from Yerushalmis and Rambams, etc. And what did he come against me? Libi. But that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point that he makes over in the Sefer. That's exactly the point. In other words, it's not a joke. The Chazon Ish's understanding is that because he studied the whole corpus of the halacha, what he came in with his heart, with his intuition, that he gets from the text, and now even though it's only his heart, but that's worth more than anything else. As a matter of fact, many poskim have said that when the Rosh, one of the great Rishonim, says this and this and this, okay, it's very important, quotes of proof, quotes of this. When he says V'yeroa Li, it seems to me, without quoting a text, that's even more authoritative. That means me, which means me, that I know, he doesn't say it, that I know all the shas and the poskim, that's even in a higher level of authority, some suggest. In any event, this is a fascinating dispute, but it's a dispute which goes not to the details, perhaps we'll get to the details at the rate we're going first next week, but the idea. And this is what Reb Chaim Noah complains to the Chazon Ish. Ein shir achala minag dala sa'om. It's not a minag of the poor, spiritually poor people of the world. No. Minako Gaone Adoros, the Mishnah Lamelech. Then until 50 years ago, there was not in Eretz Yisrael any public bakeries. Any rabbi, they would, in every place, they would be mafresh challah. He doesn't understand. Can you imagine that the Rishonim Kamalachim were off by a factor of 2 to 1? No. Kimitzion Teisesoro. Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. You know, the Rishonim and Rabbanim are very strong on their custom. They don't get pushed around so fast. But the truth is, the Chazon Ish pushed them a little bit. And he tweaked them, and he did different things, and it even had certain ramifications. But here, an interesting point that this author writes. We see from here that the Reb Chaim Noah agrees in principle to the Chazon Ish that a minig of dalas ha'am of plain people doesn't count. His only response is, it's not dalas ha'am. The greatest rabbis supervise this. So you really gave it? He gave it in principle to what the Chazon Ish writes. Fascinating. But what's interesting, is that the rabbis of Yerushalayim were very, very strong. Very strong. For example, they saw all the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, who had traditions going back hundreds of years, were assuming that it would continue. Chazon Ish, forgive the expression, Hamtzah Chadash El Shema'arim Shebo Micholosh Ishtakeyapo. These newcomers. Who wrote this? Rabbi Velvel Mintzberg. He was the Rabbi of the old city, a Charedi Shebecharedim, and he can't believe it. He can't believe it. This is what was their tradition going back so many years. Despite the fact that the Chazon Ish is known to be from the Gedolei HaGedolim, for sure, but it brings into this polemic others. We mentioned before Rav Menashe Klein, who was from the Hungarian school, right? And he's a Chassam Sofer Yid. Chassam Sofer was machmer in this thing, but apparently no. They give greater credence to what they call over here the Mesoras Chaya, the living tradition that so many people did, right? And he gives a quotation. I'm not going to read you the entire quotation, but it's coming to an end of this year. Part of it. Our great rabbis, we saw Rabboseinu, Dor achar Dor, Gedolim, Gaonim, and Tzadikim, who never heard of this chumrah. They never heard of it. Never. You take an egg, an old, a regular egg, you have an egg and a half, and you make Kiddush. How can you say Shekol Olam Kulo Chachamim Gonim Tzadikim all forgot the Shir to Moshe Rabbeinu? How can it be? The students of the Baal Shem Tov, Tzadikim and Chassim, students of the Gra, Even the Tzlach himself didn't pass in the way. He just was wondering what to do. Right? They never saw that they changed the minig of the Shira of Oseinu that we know from all the way back to the Rishonim. And that's a quote before. Before the war, almost nobody did it. The cup of the Vilna Gaon was smaller. The cup of the Gera Rebbe was smaller. The cup of the Sanda Rav was smaller. How could we not be choshes the Zilusam Yavoseinu? Impossible. By the way, the cup of the Chafetz Chaim was small. He's the one who paskined lechatchila like the Tzlach, but he had a different version. I know one thing. I was told it from a reliable source. And the Chafetz Chaim cup is still in the family, and his grandson won't use it. Too small. Mind boggling. Yeah.
But this experiment that was noted,
right?
Right. So, that he did. How come nobody tried that before?
Can't answer the question. I don't know. I'm not here discussing.
And how does it work? If you don't have the Sumra, how does the Shiurim, the way that Mark explains it, work out?
Very good. It's an easy way. That he gave you the way. People today are bigger than they were then. We know it to be true.
No, but I'm saying, since we know that's not true.
What?
People today are bigger.
Right.
Eggs are the same.
Exactly. So it works out.
What works out?
He only had two choices.
People.
So he had two choices in front of him. People got bigger or eggs got smaller. Can't be people that got bigger because it's computer service. Must be eggs got smaller. He himself was admitted that if people got bigger, it solves the problem. Now, I'm not exactly sure it's going to work in details, but the details are not, I'm not up to that yet. Now, he says something which I believe is incorrect in this sefer, in this book, page 440, the last page on this topic, and I want to just bring us to next week, Mr. Shem. He says as follows. This is what happened. He tells a story. The stipler was so strong, he said you shouldn't oppose, shouldn't even print any other views, because Reb Chaim Noah is against the Chazanish, and it's wrong, you can't do this, it's terrible. What do you mean, Machlokas HaPoskim? We all know Reb Chaim Noah's shear is a mistake. How can you compare Rabbi Noah to the Chazanish? How can it be such a thing? And the Grohl that way. He's quoting this from the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu of the stipler. When somebody wants to put out a book with like they have today. Oh, today it's always that way. Chaim Noah and the Chazanish. He's yelled at him. How can you compare the two of them? Ooh. That's what he wrote. And Orchas Rabbeinu is quoted. Look what happens. He tells the following story. Listen to this. His last Sefer was called Shiurim Shel Torah, which is apparently 1956, which is almost 30 years before his Petira. He writes, there was a minhag kavua. It wasn't the minhag kavua to follow this shiur, so a person has a right to follow his old custom, even though he thinks the Chazanish is absolutely correct. The Tzlach is absolutely correct. Okay? But someone who has a different minhag, all right, he can rely on his custom. Listen to the story he tells. Amazing story. He wrote a letter. It's printed to somebody who was sick. He wanted a kazayis maror according to the Shir Chazanish, even though he had ulcers. Ulcers. You know what maror does for ulcers? I'm not sure what maror they were using. If they're probably using horseradish, which they should, in my opinion, it's not maror at all. But that's for another discussion. If you have lettuce, I don't see why it should hurt. Does lettuce hurt your ulcers? I'm not, anyone know? We need Dr. Leibowitz here. I'm not sure if he thinks that lettuce hurts your ulcers. I don't know. Anyway, he says, a cholek can certainly rely on the smaller shear. Why? Because your dua, it's well known, that mora nachaz anish held, that me'ike radin, it's enough for the shear kazayas, which is very small. And only lechatchila is machmir for the psak of the achronim. But then he says in the last line, but the fact that a sick person, the anonymous sick person, shows how far the Chaznish's shear was spread. I believe he misses a very critical point of here, which we'll dwell on the Mitzvah Shem next week, which is the Chaznish, this line, is not referring to the shear of Revius at all. It's only referring to the shear of a Kazayas. And as I mentioned earlier in my presentation, Kazayas? Where's Kazayas fit in? On that scale, it goes down to Gebetz, and all goes up. Beitz Halug, Revius, Revius, Revius Halug. Kazayas doesn't fit in anywhere. Nowhere in Shas is there anywhere, any relationship proportionally between a Kazayas and a Gebetz or a Revius. None! So, what's going on over here? Why are they somehow pegged to each other? So, So for Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll talk about that in our continuing series on the evolution and change in halacha. Shavua Tov.